North Korea is very clear. It wants to play the two sides, China and the United States, off against each other.
North Korea's Kim returns to China amid new status in the world. It's Wednesday, June 20th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Coming up, gaming is big in Asia. Now it's also a disease. Big hits come to Myanmar's playing fields. Trade tariffs and new business opportunities. A new Ebola vaccine. And art on beer cans. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Chinese President Xi Jinping says he hopes North Korea and the United States can implement the agreement they reached at last week's historic summit in Singapore. That, according to China's state broadcaster CCTV. Xi made his comments as he welcomed the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to China. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Gong Shuang told reporters Beijing hopes Kim's visit will strengthen bilateral communication on major issues to, quote, promote regional peace and stability. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with Clayton Duby, who heads the USC-US-China Institute at the University of Southern California.
Clay, what do you think were the priorities of both Kim and Xi as they met?
In going to Beijing, again, the optics matter a lot. And the fact that Beijing treated this visit as it treats most visits of foreign leaders. That is to say, they announced it, and they announced it roughly at the time that it was happening, as opposed to waiting until Kim Jong-un left Beijing. And so they were sending a signal that North Korea is increasingly a normal country, and it's going to be treated as such. So that's one of the things that Beijing was conveying. Xi Jinping also wanted to make it clear that whatever happened in recent years, China intends to be a partner with North Korea. Now, what Kim Jong-un wanted, of course, was sanctions relief. And informally, it seems that some of that has already happened, that goods are moving a little bit more easily across the China-North Korea border. But he wants China at the UN Security Council to push for a formal lightening of that burden.
What do you think Xi Jinping wants to see the situation become between China, North Korea, and the United States?
So in the triangular relationship between North Korea, China, and the United States, North Korea is very clear. It wants to play the two sides, China and the United States, off against each other. That much is evident. And so in going to Beijing and saying, we are doing what you suggested and we are doing these things, can you help us? They are sending that signal to Beijing that they expect Beijing to be supportive. And with regard to the Trump administration, with regard to the United States, they see the United States as the big balancer in the region. And by getting the United States to at least suspend for the moment military exercises with the South Korean forces, they have succeeded in conveying to their own people and to the people of South Korea and perhaps to people in the United States that the United States military commitment is not necessarily diminished, but that the military is not military aspect of the relationship is not going to be emphasized. From the U.S. perspective, of course, President Trump first expected that North Korea would be handled by China, that Beijing would manage to stop the North Korean nuclear weapons program. And that didn't happen. The Chinese resisted being the one that was to be responsible. So what China wants is to play a role, but not to bear ultimate responsibility, not to have to carry the most water. And North Korea also doesn't want China to be playing a leading role. It sees that as its own affair, that it's going to manage this relationship in to serve its interests.
Who does North Korea need more, China or the United States?
North Korea can't change its geography any more than any other country can. And so North Korea is bound to China. China is that economic dynamo that's right on its border. It is the source of most of its export or most of its imports and the destination for most of its exports. It is also a place where many North Koreans received training of one sort or another. And so the connection there is going to be multi-threaded. But it's also going to be contentious because the relationship has never been an especially smooth one. Now, with the United States is, of course, a military and economic superpower. It is allied with the countries that North Korea most worries about, South Korea and Japan. And so it needs to work with the United States, and it wants to work with the United States. It wants the United States to be the ultimate guarantor of North Korean security, and it wants to have a relationship with the United States that means it can't be pushed around by China.
Clayton Duby, who heads the U.S.-China Institute at USC, the University of Southern California, speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. China's President Xi hosts North Korea's Kim for talks. Thailand executes first prisoner since 2009. Coronation plans threaten Thailand's election schedule. Laos announces another controversial dam on the Mekong. Baseball making inroads into Myanmar. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. You'll also find them on our voanews.com website. We continue now with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. For the first time, the World Health Organization is adding gaming disorder to the section on mental and addictive disorders in its new International Classification of Diseases. The ICD provides data on the causes of thousands of diseases, injuries, and deaths across the globe, and information on prevention and treatment. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the ICD launch at WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The International Classification of Diseases was last revised 28 years ago. Changes which have occurred since then are reflected in this edition. Gaming disorder has been added to the section on mental and addictive disorders because demand for services to tackle this condition has been growing. Gaming disorders usually are linked to a system of rewards or incentives, such as accumulating points in competition with others or winning money. These games are commonly played on electronic and video devices. World Health Organization officials say statistics, mainly from East and South Asian countries, show only a very small 2-3% of people are addicted to gaming. Director of WHO's Department for Mental Health and Substance Abuse, Shekhar Saxena, describes some of the warning signs of addictive gaming behavior.
Be careful if the person you are with, a child or other person, is using gaming in an excessive manner. If it is consuming too much time and if it's interfering with the expected functions of the person, whether it's studies, whether it's socialization, whether it's work, then you need to be cautious and perhaps seek help.
In the previous WHO classification, gender identity disorders such as transsexualism were listed under mental and behavioral conditions. Saxena says this now has been moved to the chapter on disorders of sexual behavior along with some other conditions.
The people with gender identity disorder should be not categorized as a mental disorder, because in many cases, in many countries, it can be stigmatizing and it can actually decrease their chances of seeking help because of legal provisions in many countries.
A new chapter also has been added on traditional medicine. Although traditional medicine is used by millions of people worldwide, it never before has been classified by WHO in this system. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening in Asia, the U.S. Defense Department has formally suspended a major military exercise planned for August with South Korea. A much-anticipated move stemming from President Donald Trump's nuclear summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're here with us today, listening to VOA Asia. Even during the height and hype of the current World Cup, baseball remains America's national pastime. In Myanmar, the most popular sport is football, or soccer as it's known here in the United States. Still, baseball has carved a small niche for itself there, thanks to a man from Japan. Dave Grunbaum is on base with the story.
This is where the game of baseball is literally a small grassroots movement. The infield of an old horse racetrack is now the home field of the Myanmar national baseball team. The club is a collection of part-time players with day jobs. They include maintenance workers, a teacher, a cook, and a taxi driver named Jothu Yatun. He's 33 years old, married with two daughters.
I drive the car to work for my family and I play baseball because I love it.
Toru Iwasaki of Japan, the founder of a local private primary school, started the team 18 years ago. The program gets very little financial support from the National Sports Ministry and depends mostly on money from Coach Iwasaki's own pocket to stay afloat.
Surely, I like baseball. I like baseball and I'd like to introduce baseball in this country, spread more. This is my passion.
Play ball!
On this cloudy afternoon, the Myanmar national team is taking on a ragtag squad of expatriates from the U.S. and Japan.
I like coming out with the guys and the camaraderie that comes out of it.
Mick Amundsen-Geisel grew up in America and works as a guidance counselor at an international school in Yangon. But today he's competing against the Myanmar national team, a club he occasionally practices with.
It's definitely an American game, but it certainly has Asian aspects here. Like the language that they use and the cheers that they do.
But you get a sense of baseball's popularity, or lack of it here in Myanmar, by looking at the number of people in the stands. The team prepared a printout explaining the basic rules of the game in the local Burmese language to help fans understand the game. Few people are familiar with baseball in this country, where football, also known as soccer, is still king.
People don't even know what this uniform is for. In other countries, people know this is a baseball uniform. But here, it's hard to explain what baseball is about.
For now, baseball is likely to remain a fringe sport in Myanmar, but this team is making its own contribution, promoting America's national pastime. Dave Grunebaum for VOA News, Yangon, Myanmar.
Coming up, trade tariffs and new business opportunities. You're listening to VOA Asia.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
This news from VOA Asia, Chinese President Xi Jinping says he hopes North Korea and the United States can implement the agreement they reached at last week's historic summit in Singapore. Xi made his comments as he welcomed North Korean leader Kim Jong-un during his third visit to China. Make as many visits as you like to VOA Asia Facebook for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the Trump China trade tariffs and a new market for China's e-commerce giant Alibaba are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
U.S. President Donald Trump has put new tariffs on tens of billions in Chinese imports, sparking immediate retaliation from Beijing. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the punitive duties will apply to 818 Chinese products valued at $34 billion starting July 6th, with a second list of $14 billion to be considered under a new review process. In reaction, China unveiled 25% duties on $50 billion worth of U.S. imports. The tit-for-tat duties caps a month of diplomacy in which China tried to assuage Trump's grievances over trade imbalances. Trump has long argued that the United States has been on the losing side of trade deals for far too long and has said that U.S. jobs and wealth have been pouring into other countries. The China trade offensive is only one side of a multi-front battle with various U.S. trading partners. Trump outraged Canadian, Mexican, and European leaders recently by imposing steel and aluminum tariffs to protect American producers from supposed unfair competition. These policy decisions are in keeping with Trump's America First policy, but critics say the decision will only hurt American businesses, especially U.S. farmers and manufacturers. Brussels, Ottawa, Beijing, and Mexico City have already said they intend to inflict damage on export industries in politically sensitive voting districts of the United States. The White House maintains that any Chinese countermeasures would be unjust and will be met with even more sanctions. Chinese tech giant Alibaba opened an office in Malaysia, its first country office in Southeast Asia. The new office signifies Alibaba Group's continued effort to develop the technology sector of Malaysia. Founder and executive chairman of the Alibaba Group, Jack Ma.
We come here looking for partners. We come here to enable partners. We want the partners to be the local king here. Because we know only that when partners succeed, we can be succeed.
Aside from an Alibaba-led digital trade zone in Malaysia, the company has also established a cloud computing data center, brought its mobile payment service Alipay, and has trained thousands of individuals, entrepreneurs, and cloud computing professionals under various programs. The Malaysian government has welcomed the latest investment. Malaysian Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng.
We are, of course, very happy to have Jack Ma here. And we want to welcome Alibaba's continued commitment to Malaysia. And I appreciate your eagerness to work with the new federal government to help spur new investments, create new jobs and economic opportunities for Malaysians.
Ma also announced the launch of Malaysia Week in July to promote a broad range of Malaysian products and services to Chinese consumers. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
This news from VOA Asia. Human rights group Amnesty International is condemning Thailand's first execution since 2009. The country's Department of Correction says a 26-year-old prisoner was put to death by lethal injection near Bangkok. He was condemned for the brutal 2012 stabbing death of a 17-year-old boy for his cell phone. This story and more are on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now in VOA Asia, health experts are dispatching an experimental vaccine in areas of the Democratic Republic of the Congo that are considered ground zero in the fight against Ebola. Their hope is to try to combat the outbreak from the onset. VOA's Julie Tabo tells us the crucial test is providing hope in times of uncertainty.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo is grappling with its ninth outbreak of Ebola, and health experts are scrambling to dispatch an experimental vaccine to fight the deadly virus in its earliest stages. While the vaccine has yet to be approved, health officials have rushed in 7,500 doses because the shots appeared promising during the devastating 2014 Ebola epidemic in West Africa. The vaccines are being dispensed in three of the country's most heavily affected areas, all of which are transport hubs. The strategy involves investigators working in rings around those who've been infected, immunizing high-risk people who've come into direct contact with infected persons, and then with their contacts.
From most of the positive cases that we have, at least 50% are coming from the contact.
Success of the vaccination strategy hinges on the speed at which health workers can identify people at risk.
If we identify the new case before the disease progresses, then we can treat the patient in the hospital.
Even if the vaccine works, the hurdles can be challenging. Special freezers are needed to transport the medication in the heat and through forested areas with few paved roads. Health workers have to identify and track down anyone who's come into contact with a sick person. And perhaps most challenging of all is persuading a frightened population that these shots can save lives. Many don't believe Ebola even exists.
The community was not really convinced that this is a deadly disease. For them, it's a story of witchcraft and so on.
Health officials say that while it's difficult to track down people in remote areas who are at risk and in need of vaccination, they're cautiously optimistic about the strategy in more populated areas. Passengers who arrive in boats have their temperature taken. And in populated areas along the Congo River, residents are given a phone number to report anyone who's become sick.
Here we wait. As soon as it happens, we'll call, since we were left numbers. They will come directly with drugs to spray in the boats.
Health experts say the next 2 weeks will be critical in determining if the outbreak is under control. In the meantime, some recipients say at the very least, the shot gives them peace of mind. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Described as bright, thoughtful, and bold, the art that Mike Van Hall makes is both unexpected and accessible. But what makes his art unique is that he doesn't use a canvas. Whenever inspiration strikes, Van Hall simply heads to the local brewery or the nearest supermarket beer aisle. Anna Rice has more on an unconventional American artist.
I'm Mike Van Hall. I'm an artist and graphic designer, and I focus most of my work on the world of food and beverages, beer in particular.
Van Hall used to be an attorney, but he left his career in law to focus on his true passions, beer and art. His work is much more than just decorating labels on beer bottles and cans. Currently, he's working with two breweries, the Aslan Beer Company and Stillwater Artisanal Ales.
I do modernism mostly, but I think of myself as a contemporary artist, and it's just that beer is my canvas for right now.
Although working with aluminum has been more difficult than Van Hall anticipated due to the can's fragile nature and the way they reflect light, this aluminum container can be the perfect platform for social commentary. Mike admits his desire to draw attention to some social issues has been controversial at times.
I don't try and be offensive, but I try and be provocative on some of these labels. And we do get rejected on some of them.
Case in point, his artwork for a beer called Selfie Stick. The label shows a gun attached to a selfie stick.
I took it to the extreme. Right? And the hand coming down is controlling the use of the stick with the gun on the end.
Government regulators found the original artwork misleading and rejected it. So Van Hall made a few creative changes and found another way to get his message across. But the breweries he works with are not discouraged by such incidents.
I wasn't being hired because of my professional execution. I was being hired because of my approach and the way I was thinking about things.
Van Hall's work is not always about serious social commentary. He says there's room for everything, from tongue-in-cheek puns to mysterious cartoonish creatures.
People get very, you know, they're like, oh, well, this is just beer. It doesn't have to be, you know. Everybody engages with beer, and so it's a way to have a cultural conversation.
And judging by how popular his beer illustrations and the breweries that use them are, a lot of beer drinkers are enjoying the cultural conversations that Mike Van Hall brings to life. Anna Rice for VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Perhaps you've been listening to us online via iTunes, SoundCloud, or streaming on VOA Asia Facebook or our website, voanews.com. Perhaps you've been listening on the radio. If you're in Thailand, you can find our program on Chiang Mai University Radio, FM 100 at Chiang Mai University. We thank everyone there who's tuned in today. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, and engineer, Kelvin Fowler, who help bring us this program every day, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. We'll